The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Expository Thursday on a Friday. Yeah. Plus trivia.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation, praise reports, prayer requests. We got some trivia. Just keep in mind you can call in because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Wow. Here's verse 19. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. Here's what this is all. It's like, wow, that's a lot of big, hefty theological words. All of that says they are beyond lost feelings. They are at the point where they've lost all sensitivity. They've given themselves over. They don't care. Here is one of the earmarks of a carnal person, man or woman, who is rejecting Jesus Christ and saying no to the gospel, or has not yet said yes to the gospel and is just in the old person, so to speak. And here's what Paul is doing by the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's defining a major portion of the personality of the people who say no to Christ. And that is they've lost sensitivity and given themselves over to sensuality. They are no longer sensitive. They are no longer, it's like, nope, don't care. I don't care. I could care less. They have given themselves over. That phrase, given themselves over, means they're controlled by. It's akin to a possession when we're talking about demonized. It's not the direct word, but it's closely connected to it. And it says, given themselves over to sensuality, the basest evil passions kind of gone wild. You know, those they did those videos, Gone Wild, College Girls Gone Wild, all that. Well, that's exactly what it's talking about. Most of the time in this reference point in the Greek and in this kind of context, it's talking about sexuality. And the bottom line is they're tasting what's impure, what's unclean, what's dirty, and it's a picture of a selfish and a perverted life, and they don't care. And that's the ticket. They don't care. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, first of all, Dave, you normally preach really positive, you know, rainbows and Skittles. Okay, but when we're talking about describing within the framework of Scripture somebody who rejects Christ and insists on living in the carnal nature, this is what's taking place. They go past their feelings and they don't care. So I want to address something that's connected to this, and that is the Christian who sits there and is afraid that they might not be saved because they're not sure that they're really standing in faith as much as they need to, and they're having failures, which we're going to talk about later in the show, and they're kind of bouncing a little bit up and down, a little bit in the flesh, a little bit in the spirit, and they are fearful that they are not saved. Here is the greatest news you can ever ever hear. If you are a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you're about to hear the greatest news you could ever hear regarding your salvation. If you are concerned or have a fear or have an intimidation or have a reservation because you don't want to lose your salvation, you're not one of these carnal people who have rejected God. Because those people don't care. Did you get that? They could care less. They don't care. You're rejecting God. So what? That's their attitude. But if you're a Christian and you're going, no, I know I'm not doing everything I need to do, and I want to do better, and I don't want to miss out on the kingdom. I don't want to disappoint God. I want to do this right. That is an excellent evidence of where your heart and mind is. And that excellent evidence can actually be a comfort. Even though you know that you're falling short, the great news is, because of Jesus Christ, your falling short is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're always going to fall a bit short. That's kind of almost a reality we'll get into in a second. But the bottom line is, if you're a Christian and you're concerned, that shows the difference between you and these people in verse 19, where it says, having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. They don't care. But if you care, then you're not them. Get that? That's the real big difference. And you think, well, I understand that, but I feel like I'm not getting everywhere I need to get to in the Lord, and I want to do better. Got it. Guess who knows that better than you? God. Guess who knows how to work the sanctification process in your life better than you do? God. And the Holy Spirit is working in you. But the reality check is those that don't care. And it means nothing to me if they name the name of Christ and don't care because they're not saved. So I don't care. That means nothing. But if you're a passionate person in the Lord, but you know you're falling short and you're concerned about it, good news. You're okie dokie. You just want to keep pushing in to the presence of the Lord. Now, when we get back, I'm going to add one caveat to this whole thing of these carnal people. You're just going to go, wow, I didn't see that. It's kind of fascinating, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry. Okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, this is how the Lord hurts for you. And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy showing me crying and tears and
all I could think of was Jesus wept.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Sometimes things go according to plan. Sometimes not so much. The Lord will always help His kids, but He does want us to use the wisdom He gave us as well. Insurance solutions are a great key for using preventative wisdom. If things do go in a tougher direction, insurance can be used to fill in the gap. There's biblical evidence for preparing for the future. King David did this for Solomon and the temple. Stephanie Vasquez has joined forces with New York Life Insurance Company to help provide insurance needs to fill in the gap. Stephanie hopes you never have to use the insurance she brings to you for life solutions. But if you do, it's good to know there's someone there who can help. Stephanie Vasquez will help you fill in the gaps. Call her today at 214-499-5378 or go to LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. That's LinkedIn and type Stephanie Vasquez, NYL. Stephanie Vasquez, New York Life Insurance, and you. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4:12. On Christ the
solid rock. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Again, if you want to get our ins and outs on the music, livinginhisgrip.com. It is under the Hymn, H-Y-M-N, project. You can get that music for free. We encourage you to do so. You can also reach us by calling 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You might want to give a call on the trivia. We've got a little bit of more theology that's going to be coming your way. Some people will really like it. Some people will really hate it. That's the great nature about theology. Website, hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org for our 100% tax-free donation opportunities, which are on that site, which have a personal video that I do for people that give, and some links and some different things that are going on. Please, if you can give, if you can't give, don't worry about it. There is a commercial coming. It's rather tongue-in-cheek about the process. You will hear it coming next week. I have warned you. You have been so warned. Okay. Trivia, which I want to do here. Let's see. Here's the first trivia question. Who found baby Moses in the river? How about that for a simplistic one? Who found baby Moses? Baby, little baby Mo. Little Mo. Who found Mo in the river? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. The only thing I will tell you, it was not Inspector Gadget. Okay? It was not Inspector Gadget. That's all I'm going to tell you. We are talking about theology, and the reason that we're talking about theology, and in Ephesians, we're talking about people who are carnal, as opposed to people that say yes to the gospel. We're talking about, Paul is going through in Ephesians chapter 4, a whole review of people that reject the gospel, of people that say no, and he's giving definitions as to characteristics and what's in them and why they're doing it, and you know, kind of what's taking place there, and he kind of gives a breakdown. A lot of people, they're afraid to look into this because once you find out how you were, or once you find out how some people are, you get to get this really clear picture. It's ugly. It's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. So in verse 19, I did most of the verse, but I didn't do the last portion of the verse on purpose so that we could review it together in this segment. In verse 19, Ephesians chapter 4, it says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. In this portion, we're talking about people that just, they've given it over to sensuality. They don't care. They could care less about salvation. They don't care. These are the people that are like, if it feels good, do it. What nobody defines is, for one person, if it feels good, but that creates pain for others, is that moral? Nobody's talking about that part of it. It's just a simple philosophy. If it feels good, do it. It doesn't matter what the results are. That's called that's the ultimate in selfish living. The rest of the verse says this. And this is the part I want to kind of deal with. So having lost all sensitivity and given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Now, a lot of this has to do with sexual sin, but not only sexual sin. It just has a big picture in that. And then it says at the end of the verse, they've given themselves over, they don't care, and all they have is a continual lust for more. In other words, it is continually feeding within them. They're continually hungry because in the old person, the old nature, that person is growing in iniquity. That old person is growing in sinfulness, and there is never a place to find satisfaction. So there's always a continual lust for more. Self-centered lusts promise joy, but fail to provide it in a long-term capacity. Don't misunderstand. I don't think people should misunderstand this. Sin is pleasurable for a season, is what the scripture says, for a time, for a period. But then it falls short, and there's a pursuit to want more, to need more. This is in contrast to a Christian who can find fulfillment and satisfaction in a relationship with God. And you think, well, how's that possible? It's when you begin to understand Psalm 23, verse 1. The most famous psalm of all. I was just sharing with somebody the other day. Written in a cave, saying one of the most important lines is the first line. Everybody quotes the middle or the end of the psalm because they're talking about death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And they do that at funerals. And most of the people miss the most important part of that psalm is verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And if God is your shepherd, you don't feel like you need to fill your bucket of lust on a continual basis, because satisfaction comes from the Lord in his creation. As a created being who has rebelled against God, what people do is they try and fill this empty bucket, this sensuality bucket, and they just keep trying to fill it and keep trying to fill it and keep trying to fill it and throw more in, and it's a continual lust for more, and it's a never-ending process because they never stop wanting because they're never satisfied. In contrast, the Christian can start and stop in one spot. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. You don't even, if God is truly connected to you in a real relationship, not some of this phony baloney stuff, not somebody that goes to church and then gives every so often and they think they're a Christian just because they show up and they sit on their blessed assurance. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about genuine Christianity, where it's real faith, real relationship, real crying out to God, real struggle in your communion with God. And if you don't think people who are connected to God struggle, ask Jacob about how that went when he was wrestling with the angel of the Lord. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is God creates the only satisfaction that you and I could ever rest in. All the other pursuits are either to quiet the noise or fill the void with fleshly things. We either try to medicate out or we try and fill it, and it always falls short. For the carnal people, everything revolves around this self-gratification, no matter what the cost and no matter who gets hurt. But for the Christian, they're not stuck in that place. If you're a Christian and you're like, you know what, I am a Christian, but I don't feel like I'm getting that sense of satisfaction, and I struggle, and I try to fill up sometimes in the old bucket, and I try to keep things going, I can just tell you this right now. A, that's not really that abnormal, but B, you're not connecting with God to the level that you can, because his creation, when connected with him, doesn't try and fill that empty hole with anything but more of God. And he has promised unlimited connection with you, unlimited filling, unlimited fellowship. In fact, he's already pronounced, I'm going to spend eternity with you. It'll be satisfaction. It'll be fulfillment for you, for me, for all of us. Not that God needs to be fulfilled, but for our longing. And what happens is people that reject God, they try to fill the empty hole with whatever they can, mostly sex, mostly drugs, mostly things that make them either medicate or bring temporary satisfaction. It's never enough. They always want more. There's never peace. But for the Christian, there is a peace that passes all understanding, that comes through that communion with God. I think, gosh, Dave, you are being mean. I'm being really nice. If I was mean, I wouldn't tell you the truth. Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's what Paul wrote to the Galatians. The bottom line for many people is that they get stuck and then they can't figure out why they're not finding that sense of fulfillment, and they start filling it with whatever they can. And if you don't think that's true, just think of how often people go, we need something else in our lives. Let's try bingo. Let's try book scrapping. Let's try this and let's try this. It's like everybody's trying to fill all these empty elements. And if you are in communion with God, you don't have the empty element. Then does that mean we do that perfectly? No, of course not. But it tells you where to go. You don't have to put poison in your body. You don't have to defile your body in order to find that sense of satisfaction. And by the way, sex is not defiling your body, okay? Because God's the one that created sex. So let's stop this prude stuff. I don't know how that even came about. But what is wrong is this rebellious, carnal, this is my God kind of living, where sex is the person's God. That's wrong. That's just wrong. Or any kind of medicating, and then that medication becomes your God. It's like, that's wrong. The Lord is the Lord. And the only place human satisfaction can be found is in that connection with the creator of his creation. It cannot be found anywhere else. It cannot be bought. It cannot be medicated. It cannot be fooled. You are built with a strip inside of you that can only find life as right when you are properly connected to your creator. Other than that, people spend their entire lives trying to kill the volume, trying to medicate out, trying to numb out, trying to lust it out so that they can just think there's sometimes something good. That's what Paul is talking about. That's intense stuff. But that's what we get stuck in if we're not walking as a believer in him. Don't do that. If you're a person that's stuck in that, get away from that. Call upon Jesus. Have a change in your life. If you're a believer and you're not connecting, call upon the Lord for more of him. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking,
What?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh, my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know if you want to reach us, 972-445-0770. Our website, hemustincrease.org, from John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. So if you've been listening to the show today, you're probably like going, oh my goodness, my ears, they're burning. Not because we're having tickling ears, just because I'm frying them off. Here is the trivia question. Who found baby Moses in the river? So they took Moses, they put him in a little basket, put him in the river. Who found him? It's pretty straightforward. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. As you can tell, when we do expository teaching, there's no, we're going to apologize for this being harder or this not. Nope. This is what the Word of God teaches. And it strictly, when people, you either want to make it worse than it is or less than it is. It's like, look, this is what it says. And what it's saying is, if you in this life are trying to find satisfaction apart from that connection with your Creator, you are going to fail in that. And if you are trying to fill that void with the sensualities or with medications or things of that nature, it's going to fail. It's never going to reach what you're trying to reach. And in lieu of that, it is only connecting to the Lord that gets you there. It's the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's how that works, okay? All right, I got somebody calling in on the trivia question. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, my name also is David.
Well, that is a fantastic name, I got to tell you right now.
Hey, we're the beloved.
Yep, and my parents, I tell myself I was named after a king, but I know it's not true. But anyway.
Well, actually, when I was born, they were going to call me Quits. What I heard when I was born. They said, let's call it Quits.
Wow. All right, my friend, give me an answer for this trivia question. Here we go. So Moses, the little baby Mo, in the water, and somebody found him. Who found him?
Batia, Pharaoh's daughter.
Pharaoh's daughter, my friend. Good job.
Not too many people know that her name was Batia.
I did not know. I did not heard that yet, so I'm going to do some research on that. But have you been listening to the show a long time? I don't think we've had a chance to talk before.
No, everybody beats me to the phone. They're quick. I'm not very fast.
That's right.
I dial with my thumb.
Yeah. Oh, well, that can make it a little slower. And then if you don't know the number and if you don't have it on speed dial, that can make it all challenging for sure.
It is.
Thank you, my brother, for calling in. I really appreciate it. And thank you for listening to the show. It's a blessing.
I was going to mention to you, Batia is mentioned in the book of Yashar, Jashar. Which is a history book, Jewish history book, and it gives the names of all those weird people.
Okay, now I'm going to look it up so I can get some research on it. So I appreciate you firing that my direction.
Well, I appreciate you.
All right.
Have some fun today. We love you.
You got it. God bless you. Thank you. All right. Great job. All right. There's Pharaoh's daughter, remember? And this is one of the really interesting things that a lot of people might not catch on that is that Moses, in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen's giving the recount of Moses' life, it says that he was educated in all the wisdoms of the Egyptians. And I think a lot of people miss that that's because of who found him, Pharaoh's daughter, and him being raised in that court. That's a powerful, powerful element. And with all that stuff, I think in the very beginning of Moses' ministry, he really thought he knew what was going on, right? Because, you know, he goes to visit the people and he's like kind of, hey, they should know it's me. I'm a good guy. I'm going to tell them what to do. And kind of jumped in a little early, right? Result was one dead Egyptian soldier. And then God put him on the backside of a desert for 40 years. So the first 40 years he was grooming him. The next 40 years he was ungrooming him. It's like, wow. He went to the desert before he came back to do his actual work and his actual ministry, which is in the last third of his life. I find that fascinating. I'm just one of those people that think it's weird. All right, verse 20 in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's stay on it. So having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Verse 20, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. And so here's Paul. He's saying, you know, this is really bad when people are trying to fill that empty void by putting in different things, by medicating or by filling it with lust or by filling it with this different things in life, and they're not finding satisfaction in the Lord, and they're just dumping stuff into that empty cup in their heart. It leads to nothing. It leads to no good. It's never satisfying. But then Paul turns it. Right here. This is where you get to see it. And this is where the Holy Spirit works with the people as the Holy Spirit's communicating what's being written. And it's like, look, you didn't learn Christianity could be used to feed personal fleshly desires. This is not how you learned. This is not what you learned about Christ. And what would be fantastic is if we can get a group of people who have made Christianity a self-help program, sit them down and make them read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, and make them read it 5 times or 10 times or 20 times or 30 times or 40 times. Why? Because then they would get, this is not a self-help program. This is not about satisfying personal fleshly desires. This is about Jesus Christ, the truth in Christ, as we were taught in regards to who he is and how we're supposed to walk.
Grace would like a prayer request.
Oh, absolutely. Hold on one sec. Hi, Grace. How you doing?
Hi. Hopefully going to be better.
Okay. Talk to me. What you got for a prayer request?
I have a couple prayer requests.
Sure.
I lost my glasses and I can't see without them, and I'm disabled. I'm shut in, and so I don't have transportation to get out to get to an eye doctor and to buy new glasses. And then also I lost a flashlight, which is important. I need that flashlight. It was a little bit expensive and new.
Not cheap,
and
right? They're not inexpensive. All right, can I pray for you real quick?
Can I have two more?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, the next is, I need a ride to the doctor because I'm on disability and I have to get in for my disability benefits and I don't have transportation. I'm not from here, so I don't have family or friends or support system here. I'm being shut in. I don't have connection with the church. So I need a ride to the doctor and the physical ability to get there because I'm mostly bedridden. And then also healthy housing. The place I'm renting right now is very moldy. It's not healthy. And then it's not healthy spiritually or emotionally
okay.
as far as Lord,
all right, I got a list going here, so I'm going to pray for you, Grace. Just ask the Lord to kind of help, all right?
Thank you so much.
Let's do it right now, okay? Father, Thanks. We come before you, and we lift Grace up to you. And Lord, I know what it is to lose glasses. When I don't have my glasses, I can't see.
And it's just such a frustrating feeling. And just pray that those glasses would turn up sooner than later and that she would find them. Either she would just come across them or something would take place that those glasses could be found. It seems like such a dumb thing, but Lord, you've helped me do things like that 50 to 100 times in my life when I just lose something that I absolutely need. And she lost her flashlight and needs that. And I'm hoping that she gets the glasses so that she can find the flashlight, because that's kind of how that would help. And then, Lord, she needs some doctor care, and we ask that you would not only provide that, but give her provision for writing to the doctor, get to the doctor, and have that work for her where she can get better and feel better and do better in connection to that, as well as she needs maybe a better housing situation. And we just ask you to give grace and mercy to Grace in regards to her housing, and that something would open up for her and that you would give her that opportunity to have a better place to kind of launch from and to live from. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you in advance for all of your graces and gifts that you'll give her. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Grace, keep us posted, and I certainly hope you come across those glasses right away, because that would be a good first place to start.
Amen. Thank you. You guys are a blessing and in my prayers.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. God bless.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Bye-bye. All right. So, good. I love praying for people. And then what the coolest thing is, sometimes we get that, yo, the Lord did this. I love that. It's just the coolest stuff in the world, man. Kingdom stuff is the coolest stuff in the world if you can get into it. If you can get less religious and more into this thing where you're walking with the Lord, it's cool. It's not all about a religiosity. I cannot communicate enough how religion and religiosity in and of itself is just kind of like these set of rules and these standards, whereas with the Lord, it's a big flow as you walk with him in life. It's just a different element altogether. If that's not something that's ever touched your heart, I pray to God that you would call upon his name and you would find out that difference, okay? All right, now let me finish up, and then we only got a minute to finish this. So in verse 20, when he says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way, Paul is making it very clear. Jesus is not about filling your fleshly desires. Billy Graham did a great message one time on people that pray, and people that pray thinking they're just going to – it's like God's a genie or something. It's like God is not a genie. This is not Aladdin, okay? When you pray, you should be surrendered to God, seeking his will. Remember what Jesus said in his prayer, teaching his prayer. He said, here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. That's starting with God's stuff, not our stuff. I'm just telling you how the method. You can't get away from stuff like that. And in regards to Christianity, for those that are like, it's all a self-help program, I got a great, great, great message for you. There is a cross in Christianity. In case you forgot, that's a big part of it. So based on the salvation and based on the teachings, based on the truth, we draw into Christ. Now I got to take my break here, and then we're going to come back and wait till you see this end part. This will just blow your mind. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Just as I am.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle-aged line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
My you got points, me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Everybody, thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, 972-445-0770. I cannot say it any faster. Let me try. 972-445-0770. Okay. Get your prize now. Website, hemustincrease.org. So if you have any comments, you want to shoot something my direction, you have something you want to pray for you about, I'd be glad to. You're always welcome to go there. It's also where we take donations, just to let you know, because I'm going to let people know exactly what's going on.
Okay, David, we have a gentleman that called. His name is John.
Okay.
And he said he may be able to help Grace.
Oh.
So if Grace could give us a call back here, I have a phone number for him. And he wasn't sure what part of town that she was living in or anything. So she could give us a call back. I can get her a phone number and she can try and maybe get some help.
Okay, so let's say we have John's number. You have that connection. So, Grace, if you're out there and you're listening, John may be able to help you, but you got to call the show back, okay? Call 972-445-0770. Wonder Julie will answer the phone and give you a contact number for John, and that way he might be able to help you in regards to the doctor situation. And who knows? Maybe that could be just all set up from the Lord. I love stuff like that. So, Grace, if you're listening, try and get to a phone. Try and call us before we have to leave the studio, because we only got about 12 minutes, and then we got to hit the road on the studio, and then Wonder Julie's going to be gone for a while. So she can leave the number with me. You can always call in next week, but I'm wanting you to call in sooner so that you can get that taken care of. In regards to me telling you all the stuff that's going on in the show, I'm not one of those guys that I don't like to hide it. So we got, you know, we got a radio bill we're still trying to pay. We're 2 weeks away. We got to get that paid. And then we got little things that my wife and I have to pay, like our car payment. It's just how it goes, folks. We're doing the best we can, just like you. And sometimes it goes really good. Sometimes some months are really not as good. We still give. We just, I think sometimes I smile better. When depending on what's going on. All right, let me get to this portion here. And this is, I probably should do this in an entire hour, but I'm going to do this in a 5-minute span. So I'm just telling you right now, get ready for tons of stuff coming off the radio right here. We're going to talk about verse 22, which says this: "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." You would not think a verse like this would create as much theological controversy as it did, or as it does, but it does create quite a bit of controversy. Here's why. Because there's an old us and a new us. Just that simple.
And there's nobody's really arguing there's the old you and the new you. The argument in a theological circle comes to the old us is crucified and the old new is, you know, in Christ, so there shouldn't be any issues, which is correct positionally. But practically, that is not exactly how it goes. And this is the verse that gives you a lot of weight in that, as well as Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 20. Here's why. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. Yes, Christ is the end of the curse of the law for all of us. We are in Christ, correct? Yes. If you're a Christian, you're going, yes, yes, yes. Yet there's still death all over the planet, Christian or not. And the reality check is that while we are positionally redeemed from all of the curse of the law, the fullness of that redemption has not taken place, which is why Jesus is still in heaven and has not come down to do his earthly reign. So it is positionally correct, and then practically it's being worked out that way. Now, here's where you get this in this verse, verse 22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Okay, the phrase put off comes from the idea of taking off clothing and throwing it to the side. Okay, put off your old self. Look what it says. Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Now, why is that important? Because in every Greek manuscript ever, 20,000 notations for the New Testament in historical documents, it is in the perfect present tense that the old self is in process of still corrupting. You can't escape it. So what that does is that says, well, the old me is still being corrupted? Yeah, that's why when you visit your old neighborhood, you are as bad as you ever were, if not worse. That's exactly why. Because the old you, crucified positionally, still from a practical point of view, hasn't been fully executed in its functionality, and it's still corrupting. And you're thinking, well, what are you trying to say? That inside me, there's something that's bad? Yeah, the old you is bad, still bad, going to be bad, and until the Lord completely separates you from you, going to be bad, 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 and not going to change, and it's going to be at war with the new you. And you're thinking, well, what are you trying to say? That I have to make a decision to walk on a regular basis in the new man? Yes, every single day. Every single decision, every single moment, you have to choose the new man and separate from the flesh. You have the power to do that. We know that from Romans chapter 6, that you have the power to walk in the newness of life. But the scripture says very clearly, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new man. But what about the times when you're not walking in Christ? And you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's when your old man rears its ugly head and you're just as bad as you've ever been. The whole premise is for us to not walk in that old man, not visit that old neighborhood. I'm not sure that the theology should be that much of an argument. Here's what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, and I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but sin living in me. Verse 18, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil that I don't want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that's living in me. And then there's people that will come and say, well, Paul was talking positionally. And it's like he was not talking positionally because the position was established in Romans chapter 6. He's not reverting in verse 7. He's just saying, I go through rubbish just like you do. And in fact, in 1 Timothy said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, not I was chief. Everybody feels like they're the chief sinner. I do.
Everybody knows exactly what Paul's talking about, not because of theology, but because of experience. You know, you're like, I can't believe I did that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have done that. Every person I've ever met in my entire life, and that's tens of thousands of Christians, goes through this experience. And it's because we revert to the old. Because in the newness of life, you don't do that. But here's the great news. Hey, you can just put that old off. Yeah, take it off like a bad shirt. I've worn plenty of shirts in my lifetime where my wife said, take it off. Have you ever had that? Somebody say, that's what you're wearing? Okay, I've had that. Probably more than you. Take it off. That's not a good look for you. That's the expression. Here's the answer. Take it off. And put on different clothing. Put on the new you. Walk in the newness of life, which you are capable of doing because Jesus Christ gave you that capacity and ability to do. And just because the old cell, old you is growing in bad things doesn't mean you have to go and give it life and breathe into it. The idea is to put it away. Next time we do this passage, I'm going to revisit this whole thing. Next time we do expository, it's fascinating material. But guess what? Through Jesus Christ, you can walk in the newness of life, even starting right now by not being mad because you don't agree with me. Grace, please call the show. We're asking you to do so. If you can't, I'm going to get that number, and then maybe you can call on Monday, and maybe John can help then. But we're trying to help you coordinate that. We pray that that works out. Thank you, John, for calling and for offering your services. That's quite the blessing. It's a blessing for me to hear that. All right, folks, I've got to wrap it up. You have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 71-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.